Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome one and all. It is June 9th, 2021, and it is a good old 1901 UTC. That's right. I was sitting in at my workstation and decided, oh yeah, I gotta get over here to do this. Forget this other meeting. So, you guys win. Alright, so, if you're new, this show is a live news show, or is mostly live, like today. So anyway, if you want to interact, what you want to do is SSH over to SDF, which is over at sdf.org. Once you're there, you want to go ahead and log in, and then go to the Anon Radio Room. Just press type com, hit enter, and press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase. Boom. And then, just like that, you'll end up in the Anon Radio Room. So now, here you are. Welcome. You can hang out with X1 and Robert588, Jazz Maz and Perrin, Stug, M. Stoney, Northern Lights is around. Had a great show yesterday with Voice. All sorts of people. Don't forget Tobe, of course, and X1 will probably be pop. Oh, yeah, X1's here too. So, yeah, tons of friends, lots of people, tons of fun. So, anyway, just dial on in. It's a good time. Let's go ahead here and get started the way we almost always start.
World news.
That world news. And because of the way the world works, we're going to start with I'm glad we had some happy stories yesterday. South Korea, 9 die as building collapses onto a bus. At least 9 people have been killed after a 5-story building being demolished in South Korea collapsed onto a bus. 8 people were injured in the collapse, which happened in the southern city of Gwangju. The bus was carrying 17 people and had stopped at the street below, the National Fire Agency said. The reason for the collapse is not yet clear, and search efforts are underway for survivors who may be trapped. All workers on the site had evacuated before the building collapsed, Fire Officer Kim Seok-soon said in a televised briefing. Some of the workers told investigators they had shut off a pedestrian path near the site before the collapse. Videos uploaded to social media showed that the building collapsed directly onto the bus. Yang Ik-jae, who runs a shop across the street from the collapsed building, told Yonhap News Agency it felt like the earth was shaking. I couldn't see the road clearly, as if it was shrouded in thick fog, he said. I checked the CCTV to find out that the building collapsed onto a bus. One of the world's worst peacetime building collapses happened in South Korea in June 1995, when Seoul's Sampung department store collapsed, killing more than 500 people. Holy moly! Ah, welcome, Hard Mouse. Hard Mouse has a great show. Definitely check that out. Check out the schedule to find out the exact time and day for you. But yeah, they've had buildings collapse before, but holy moly, really wild. Hey, welcome, Aiden. Welcome. Alright, some people died, a building fell. That sucks. Masked gunmen have shot dead 10 mine clearers working for the Halo Trust in Afghanistan's northern province of Bangalan and wounded more than a dozen. Yeah, doesn't get any better. The workers were killed when gunmen burst into their compound at 2150 on Tuesday after they'd spent a day removing mines from a nearby field. The Islamic State group said it had carried out the attack. Afghan officials have blamed the Taliban, who denied involvement. Halo Trust CEO James Cowan told the BBC that the local Taliban had, on the contrary, helped in the aftermath. IS made the claim in a statement via its channels on the messaging app. So isn't that wild? What? Oh, people are playing Netris. Why are you playing Netris in an on radio? Violence had surged in Afghanistan since the U.S. began to withdraw its troops on May 1st. Last troops on May 1st. The departure of international troops comes amid a deadlock in peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban. And I just thought it was wild that they, he had to correct the news and say, no, it wasn't. The Taliban didn't do this, and in fact, they helped us with cleaning up the mess. So, anyway, that's what's going on over there. Pretty rough. But don't worry. The death count keeps going up. A blast kills at least 61 Al-Shabaab fighters in a warehouse. More than 61 al-Shabaab militants and foreign nationals were killed in an explosion at a village in southern Somalia, the National Army said in a statement on Tuesday. The blast went off inside a house at Ala Fatal village, located some 285 kilometers from the capital of Mogadishu. Reports indicate that the material stored at the 11-room house, exploded late on Monday, killing at least 61 militants, including six foreign nationals. Among those killed include al-Shabaab's bomb experts. The military later confirmed they conducted a swipe operation in the area, destroying al-Shabaab equipment. Somalia had plunged into chaos after the 1991 overthrow of President Siad Barre's military regime, led to famine and decades of anarchic clan warfare. That's hard to say together. Al-Shabaab emerged from the youth wing of the Islamic Courts Union, a rival to the internationally backed government established in 2004, which briefly controlled large parts of Somalia. But in the second half of 2011, the group's fortunes appeared to be waning, as African Union peacekeeping force AMISOM, which is Alpha Mike India Sierra Oscar Mike AMISOM, pushed them out of their last bastions in Mogadishu. Since then, they have had to abandon most of their strongholds, but they still control vast areas, rural areas, and have maintained a presence in urban centers through an extensive intelligence network. So, pretty wild, right? All right. Well, yeah. No, I'm not upset about playing Netris. I'm just like, what is going on? There's so much activity in COM, and it's not... It's game-related. All right. Abduction in Mozambique. So don't worry. Body count's going to go down. Age is also going to go down. A distraught family in Mozambique is sharing the chilling story of the abduction of their daughters. Jihadists roaming parts of northern Mozambique for almost 4 years kidnapped dozens of children in 2020, according to British charity organization Save the Children. Nura is the mother of a kidnapped child. She recalled what happened on the day the children were kidnapped. They took our daughters and locked them in different houses, and took us and locked us in another house. Later, they came back and took the girls who interested them. They left the women inside the house, and then in the evening, after they'd taken our daughters away, we broke out of the house, the 42-year-old said. Save the Children said at least 51 children, most of them girls, were captured in the Cabo Delgado province. Violence broke out here in 2017 when Islamist attacks have displaced some 700,000 people. Oh, man. Yep. Anyway. Sebastian. Violence broke out. Blah. Okay. In one of the attacks in June last year, 10 girls were taken while drawing water from a well. Being abducted, witnessing abductions, experiencing attacks, being forced to flee from armed groups, these are extremely traumatizing events for young children and adolescents, the charity's country director, Chance Briggs, said in the report. In the report published Wednesday, Save the Children called for urgent release of all abducted children and perpetrators to be held accountable. So, man, it's just sad that it's going on. All right. Well, what else is happening? Well, oh, good. That's a duplicate story. Whew. There's so much going on. I got all these headlines. I'm trying to juggle them around.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
But, you know, that's how it always goes. All right. Here, how about something, instead of being sad, let's get angry. Egregious police abuse. Colombian police have committed egregious abuses against mostly peaceful demonstrators during protests that began in late April against the tax reform, but have expanded to include a host of social inequities. Human Rights Watch called on Colombia's government to take urgent measures to protect human rights, initiate a comprehensive police reform effort to teach officers to respect protesters, and bring to justice those responsible for abuses. The HRW report on Wednesday came as Colombia is in its sixth week of demonstrations, which have spread across the country, sometimes turning violent. Dozens of protesters have been killed or injured, supposedly at the hands of police. Colombia's right-wing president, Ivan Duque, announced on Sunday he would ask Congress to approve changes to policing, one of the main demands of protesters. The announcement came after talks between the government and an umbrella protester group, the National Strike Committee, stalled. The HRW report alleges members of the Colombian National Police have responded to protests by repeatedly and arbitrarily dispersing peaceful demonstrators and using excessive, often brutal force, including live ammunition. So, pretty wild indeed. Colombian hackers told us. Well, that'll be interesting. The group said it conducted more than 150 interviews with victims, their relatives and lawyers, witnesses, officials of the Human Rights Ombudsperson Office, and human rights defenders in 25 cities across Colombia. The government didn't respond to Al Jazeera's request for a response to the report. Human rights groups and protest organizers dispute the number of deaths claimed by the government. So, that's not really a big surprise. I don't think we got to it, but yesterday the United States said they'd only killed like seven civilians around the world last year, which is way out of line with what people normally, what everybody else says. Sorry. I gotta learn not, I can't watch Calm anymore whenever we're talking, because I get distracted. Such is life. I gotta get over that. Gotta learn how to focus. Maybe I need ginkgo biloba. The strong stuff. Dark coffee. Alright. Belarus plane. Sofia Sapega not giving in after arrest. Sofia Sapega.
Get the news over with.
Has told her family
she's
not. I'm hear you, but we're not doing that yet. We're gonna do this story. Sofia Sapega has told her family she's not giving in and is holding up in prison. In her first direct communication since being arrested in Belarus, along with her opposition activist boyfriend Roman Protsevich, more than 2 weeks ago. The couple had been returning to Lithuania from a holiday in Greece when their Ryanair flight was forcibly diverted to Minsk, sparking international condemnation and fresh sanctions against the government of Alexander Lukashenko. In letters marked KGB prison at the top, shared with the BBC by her mother, Sofia reassures her family that everything has its end, including this misfortune, although it's still not clear what the 23-year-old student has been charged with. The letter described being tormented by what she is missing out in life, including completing her master's degree. I should have defended my dissertation today and gone to a restaurant with Roman in the evening to drink champagne, she writes in one extract. Instead, she drank tea and ate a biscuit alone in her cell. It's so sad to think that so much else will happen in life that I will miss, Sofia writes. I didn't want to write about this, but I have no one to share things with, and I couldn't stop myself. Forgive me. And they have a picture of the letter, and wow, she has great handwriting, but I have no clue what it says. So yeah, that's kind of what's going on there. And man, there's just... I got tons more sad news, but you know...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Sometimes you need a break because it's like it gets in your heart, it wells up, and then you're just like, I can't stand this anymore. I want to jump off a bridge or something.
That's correct.
So yeah, you got to break it up. You can't just let it all... You can't run into it all together. So that's what we're going to do. Like to hear it. Here it goes. This is a song called... let's see, this should be the song. Fingers crossed. This should be the Rolling Stones. It is! This is the Rolling Stones. The song's called Paint It Black.
Happening to you.
If I look hard
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's
correct.
That's right. That is 100% correct. This is Anon Radio, powered by SDF. You can totally join up. Just SSH as new at sdf.org, and you can follow all the prompts and get an account. It is a good old adventure time, but don't worry about that just yet. You got plenty of time to fool around with that after the show. But definitely you want to stick around because you may have heard of the Sexual Trees, but Tobe used to be in that band, and now he's in charge of the Dubious Goals Committee. Dubious Goals Committee is every single day, any day that exists at 1930 UTC. You can set your time machine to it. It is always 1930 UTC, Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So you want to check that out. And once you're in comm, you can just press the equal sign, equal key, to pull up the current schedule and what's coming up. We got DJ Zeptar after the Dubious Goals Committee, so stick around for that. All sorts of stuff. The schedule is bumping and jumping. There are still a few open spots, though, so if you want to join in, go on, drive on over to anonradio.net, and there's instructions on how to sign up to be a DJ. So, boom. There you go. All right.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
It's time to whip out some more news. That was the Rolling Stones, and because of the Stones, I want to be sure and mention this drug story real quick. The Mauritius Revenue Authority, or the MRA, on Tuesday announced that it discovered and seized 3.7 kilograms of heroin that arrived on Sunday on board an Air Mauritius flight from South Africa. According to an MRA official, the drug was found in a metal pipe, which was concealed in a shipment of spare parts for boats. The Mauritius Anti-Drug and Support Unit, or ADSU, has opened an investigation to locate the sponsors of the drug. So, anyway, it's usually a big win whenever you see, or it's always a surprise, because drugs aren't, you don't see a lot of drug busts coming out of that part of the world. At least, I don't see a lot of them in the news. All right, well, let's go ahead and pick on back up. Here we go. Fuel prices almost doubled in Sudan following the lifting of its fuel subsidies as part of economic reforms supported by the International Monetary Fund. The move is likely to ignite unpopular discontent for a country facing deep economic crisis. The price of a liter of gasoline has jumped from 150 to 290 Sudanese pounds, which is from 0.3 to 0.56 euros per liter. The price of a liter of diesel is up by almost 128% from 125 to 285 Sudanese pounds. Let's ask the internet. Let's go to xe.com. That's usually a good reliable source. Move the window. Open. Move to new window. Here we go. Sorry, this is happening live right here for you. I just wanted to find out what that was in USD because then we can figure out how much it is per gallon. So let's see, 285 Sudanese pounds, the SDG, and we're going to convert it to euro. All right, 285 SDGs is 0.6688 US dollars, so it's about 67 cents. All right, and then let's do liters, gallons to liters. The internet, thank you for your service. All right, meanwhile, let's see. In the United States, we pay about 92 cents per liter, at least when it's $3.50 a gallon, which is about this kind of the national average. So yeah, anyway, that just gives you an idea on what's what the range is. It's crazy expensive, especially for people in Sudan. In February, Sudanese authorities also introduced a floating exchange rate regime to combat the black market. Sudan has been in a deep economic crisis since the ouster of former President Omar al-Bashir in 2019, after 30 years of rule, marked by armed conflict, an ailing economy, and heavy international sanctions. If you don't, if you may recall, last year, Mexico had to shut down one of its petrol pipelines, one of its gasoline pipelines, because of all the illegal taps on the pipeline along the countryside. It was running dry before it got to the ports because people were stealing all the gas out of it. Pretty wild, right? Well, let's talk about some more about money real quick, because this is fun. Look at this. Retired nun admits to embezzling more than $800,000 to fund gambling habit. A retired nun has admitted to embezzling $835,000 over 10 years from a Catholic school in California to fund her gambling habit. Sister Mary Margaret Cooper, 79, a former principal at St. James Catholic School in Torrance, California, used tuition fees and donations to subsidize casino gambling expenses and credit card payments. Cooper, who took vows of poverty at age 18 and spent 59 years in the religious order, said in her plea agreement that she had begun diverting money from the school's tuition and donation account to a savings account that funded the living expenses of the nuns who worked at the school, and then used some of the money for herself. According to prosecutors, Cooper admitted that she falsified monthly and annual reports to the school administration to cover up her fraudulent conduct and lulled St. James School and the administration into believing that the school's finances were being properly accounted for and its financial assets properly safeguarded, which in turn allowed Cooper to maintain her access and controls of the school's financing and accounts, thus continuing operating the fraudulent scheme. In a statement to the Washington Post, Cooper's lawyers said she is very remorseful and sorry for any harm she caused. As soon as she was confronted, she accepted full responsibility and cooperated completely with law enforcement, this statement said, adding that she'd been suffering from a mental illness that clouded her judgment. Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. Cooper's due in court on July 1st and faces up to 40 years in federal prison. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, Sister Mary Catherine Gallagher. Yeah, so pretty rough there. All right. Well, this is a headline that doesn't that you don't necessarily want to hear.
This is time for tech news.
Trump congratulates Nigeria on shutting down Twitter. Former U.S. President Donald Trump's congratulated Nigeria for blocking Twitter, and he is further calling for more countries to follow suit. Congratulations to the country of Nigeria, who just banned Twitter because they banned their president. More countries should ban Twitter and Facebook for not allowing free and open speech. All voices should be heard, Trump said in a statement. American social media companies banned former President Trump from their platforms after accusing him of spreading falsehoods and inciting the crowd which attacked the Capitol in January. Trump holds on to the need to create another competitive social media platform. So Trump is quoted to have said, "Why do we want all these people from Africa here? They're from shell countries anyway. We should have people from Norway." So this is why it's extra surprising that he would say anything positive from Africa. He made the comments while meeting a bipartisan group of senators at the White House. He later denied it, of course. So that's going on over there. And Fastly. Hold on. Let's get this in the right order. We're going to skip some of the sad. We're going to skip a few sad stories so we can fit in these less sad ones. Fastly, you remember yesterday for the internet was out for most of an hour? Fastly says a single customer triggered the bug behind a mass internet outage. An internet blackout that knocked out some of the world's biggest websites on Tuesday was ultimately caused by a single customer updating their settings, the infrastructure provider Fastly has revealed. A bug in Fastly's code introduced in mid-May had lain dormant until Tuesday morning, according to Nick Rockwell, the company's head of engineering and infrastructure. When the unnamed customer updated their settings, it triggered the flaw, which ultimately took down 85% of the network. On May 12th, we began a software deployment that introduced a bug that could be triggered by a specific customer configuration under specific circumstances, Rockwell said. Early June 8th, a customer pushed a valid configuration change that included the specific circumstances that triggered the bug, which caused 85% of our network return errors. So, it almost sounds like this is an argument for test-driven development. We detected the disruption within 1 minute, then identified and isolated the cause and disabled the configuration within 49 minutes. 95% of our network was operating as normal. Rockwell added, even though there were specific conditions that triggered this outage, we should have anticipated it. We provide mission-critical services and we treat any action that can cause service issues with the utmost sensitivity and priority. We apologize to customers and those who rely on them for the outage and sincerely thank the community for its support. So, counterintuitively, the outage and recovery led to a rise in Fastly's stock price, which is up 12% over the course on Tuesday. The increase may have been because the company had demonstrated an effective incident response plan, or simply because the outage had served to make investors more aware of the scale of Fastly's business. We'll see what happens. We've got not a lot of time. We're running out of time, so I'm going to be less in-depth. The Trump-era ban on TikTok's been dropped by Joe Biden. Joe Biden doesn't know what a TikTok is. President Joe Biden's revoked an executive order from his predecessor, Donald Trump, banning Chinese apps TikTok and WeChat in the U.S. The ban faced a series of legal challenges and never came into force. And what else is going on here? The U.S. super rich pay almost no income tax. I think he has a TikTok, but yeah, he's 80-year-old dude. U.S. super rich pay almost no income tax. We kind of touched on this yesterday, but other news sites are picking it up. If you want to find out, just go to ProPublica and look it up. There's lots of great juicy details in there. And there's a quantum leap for medical research as microscope zooms in on tiny structures. Australian scientists have developed a microscope that works with 35% more clarity, raising hope for improvements in medical imaging. It can image tiny biological structures that were previously not visible, what's been described as a significant step for quantum technology. It's the first time quantum technology has been improved on existing light microscopes, which in the future may lead to improvements in medical imaging and navigation systems. Oh man, we're out of time. I wish I could give you more. Check out anonradio.net. I'll post the links to this show. Oh man. Stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. And shout out
our time is coming to an end.
Kale.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow. And every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope at 1900 UTC.
GK Flyer. Oh, yeah. Oh, and 10. Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that. I finished a little early. I'm so proud of myself.
That's correct.